And we mentioned earlier that we will be hosting an expert on matters financial, and Devin Shute has arrived from the Robert Group. He's talking to us today about the implications of the repo rate increase. Devin, welcome. Nice to have you in the studio.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Is it really because I'm with the repo rate going up, I think people might be looking at you guys and saying, "Wow, you know all the tricks. We know nothing. Tell us about it." No, it's wonderful that you're here. Thank you. Let's just talk about for a second. Ngwanda raised the premise that many folk have not got a clue, and I think she's absolutely right, about when it comes to financial matters. I just wanted to mention your headphone is twisted so that we can get it right the other
way.
There we go. So now you can hear properly. Okay. Financial matters are kind of an anathema. A lot of folk are too proud possibly to acknowledge that they don't really understand what a repo rate is or what it means when the repo rate is increased by the Reserve Bank, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe we should start from a very simple premise. What are we talking about?
Yeah, sure. I mean, and it's a good question because it affects everyone, right?
Yeah.
So the interest rates are set by our South African Reserve Bank. They're a central bank. There's a board of governors that are independent politically, and that's important. And they set what the interest rate is for savers, so people who are putting their money in banks, how much they're going to earn off that, as well as for people who are borrowing money, how much they're going to pay on that. And so this is kind of centrally set, and then it filters down to your individual bank, Standard Bank, APSA, FNB, whatever the case is, on if you're a saver, you're an investor. Now, the question I think you've got to ask is why would a central bank change these interest rates? And very simply put, a central bank's mandate or their purpose is to control inflation. Now, inflation is this kind of like weird topic. We're not too sure what it means. We know, you know, when you go to the shops, kind of month after month, things are getting a little bit more expensive. But really, inflation at its core is just your 100 rand in your pocket being worth less and less every year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Reserve Bank is trying to keep those price increases at a level that doesn't make your money worth less too quickly. And they do that through interest rates.
Okay. I just want to ask you, the Reserve Bank prints money. And then it lends the money to the commercial banks.
Yes, that's correct. The interbank market.
So, and then at an interest rate.
Yes.
So the straight away from the get go, you're already in debt. Everyone is. Because there's an interest rate. If there is no money and suddenly the Reserve Bank prints 10 rand.
Yes.
They lend that money, or they give that money to be utilized to commercial institutions at an interest rate. So straight away, you owe more money than exists.
possibly. There's a lot of layers to that. So actually they can do that, and that does happen. What actually happens is often the reverse, is that, you know, if you are APSA Bank as an example, you are required to hold a reserve amount with the central bank to ensure that if your savers withdraw their money, that you've got sufficient money available. So it often happens in that way. But I think the bigger question you're raising, Dave, is kind of this indebtedness. And this is a global problem at the moment. And, you know, households as well are struggling with it. And I think interest rates kind of speak directly to that. If you've got too much debt and interest rates go up, you feel the squeeze straight away. And, you know, when they announced it last week, literally overnight, all the banks would move up their interest rates.
So we've gone up, what, about a quarter of a percent?
Quarter percent.
In real terms, what does that mean to the Ngwanda Demas of the world that have just bought a new car?
Oh, my goodness.
So straight away, what you thought you were going to be paying every month is now a little bit more.
Yes, that's right. And it's uncomfortable, right?
It is very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So what happened to, before the announcements, I bought a car on finance at about an interest rate of, let's say, 8%. What does...
Yeah, so I mean, very, 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 very simply, what happens, most of the debt that we take out, whether it's houses or cars or credit card, is linked to this prime rate, this interest rate that the central bank sets. So what happens is, you know, overnight your interest rates on your car, your home, goes up by the same amount. So I'll give you an example, maybe with a mortgage bond, you know, just for numbers. If you're an individual and you've got a 1 million rand mortgage bond, you know, over the standard 20 years, which is kind of what a mortgage bond is, if the interest rate went up by this 0.25%, you are going to be paying 150 Rand more per month for that increased interest in that regard. So I don't know the exact numbers of the cars. We could work it out. The calculators are pretty easy. But you've got 150 Rand less because you're servicing your debt. You're paying interest on your debt.
There is, of course, a notion that you can lock in an interest rate. So, so if you decide to negotiate on a fixed interest rate,
that's right.
Then irrespective of the movement of the repo rate, you'll be, you know what you're in for. Of course, if the rate goes down, you're stuck paying what you agreed to.
That's
right.
Know,
it's a swings and roundabouts deal.
But the banks aren't stupid. So what they do is, you know, we had our interest rates were at 50-year lows up until last week for the last 2.5 years. And so the banks will offer you a fixed rate, Dave, but what they're going to do is they're going to fix it way higher than what you could get because they know, you know, it was only up from there. So it wasn't the easy win that, you know, we thought it could be, unfortunately. But that being said, fixed interest rates, at least, you know, for the term of your loan, you're not going to be paying any more than that. There's no nasty surprises, but you do pay a premium when rates are low.
Now, one hears that debt is a problem. And obviously it is when you have debt that is unserviceable. It's a massive problem. But I believe there can be good debt as well in your financial portfolio. Can you explain that?
Sure, yeah. So, you know, financial planning 101, you get good debt and bad debt. And it's kind of always the starting point when someone looks at their finances is to address their debt. Now, you know, if we start with the bad debt, this is typically your very expensive debt. And this is things like clothing accounts and credit cards where they will charge you not 8% like Nkwana's example she used, but 18% or 25% or whatever the case is. Overdrafts would fall in there as well. So, you know, that is definitely bad debt. It costs you a lot. You can get into a debt trap where you struggle to service it, and then you have to go down a road of debt review and try to get out of there. Cars, It depends. You know, I think if you have a car that and the repayments are affordable to you, it's probably kind of in the middle somewhere. But, you know, what does happen is people overextend on cars, and then you could argue that is bad debt.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Moving to the good debt, generally you want to be taking debt if you're buying an asset that will appreciate in value. So we know generally cars are not that.
Mm-hmm.
Clothing is not that. Groceries, unfortunately, are not that. But assets like homes and possibly machineries in a business could be an example of that. I mean, it's not a guaranteed, you know, homes can also lose their value, but generally a home is a person's largest asset. They need to take on some debt to be able to afford it, and it's a long-term investment, and that can work. But yeah, you're going to be paying anywhere between kind of 2 and 3 times the value of your home if it takes you 20 years to settle that debt over that time, which is a huge amount of money. So if you bought the home for R1 million, you know, over the term of the home, you'd probably end up paying in total 2 to 3 million Rand, of which the banks have made that profit from you.
In the current economic situation that we find ourselves, I think we're coming off a fairly depressed economy, and it's not particularly exciting looking at all the fundamentals. But I believe that, strangely, the markets have done quite well. How does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, this is a question we get asked a lot. I mean, the markets that this week have reached a record high again, right? The JSE has never been higher. And to your point, you look around you and things don't look that great. You know, we are recovering from what happened in COVID last year, but we're still below where we were pre-COVID, 2019, and we were in a recession then. So on the ground, it is tough. Small businesses are struggling. We've got a crisis in unemployment, things are really hard. But then you've got the JSE, and what the JSE is a collection of some of the biggest companies in South Africa that are public companies, so people are able to invest in them. Why the market, the JSE, doesn't always tie up with the economy is because these businesses usually are large, multinational, global companies that don't only have operations in South Africa. So, you know, a good example, if you think of MTN, you know, it was founded locally. It's got operations all around the globe. It's got 300 million clients. So, you know, if South Africa is struggling economically, they still have other regions to boost them. We've got big companies like Richemont and Naspers that earn very little in South Africa. So there is a disconnect between what's happening in the market and often what's happening economically. So we've got problems economically, but there are definitely opportunities that we are seeing coming through. But it can be a tough place out there.
And obviously, when it comes to managing personal finance and particularly investments, if one is in a position to, well, I suppose you looking at one's life and style, to coin a phrase, going forward, nice. It's important to plan for the future, even though it appears that what's more important than surviving the present, but yeah, you get there very, very much sooner than you think. Yes. And if you haven't prepared, if you haven't made a plan now, especially if you're young and you think you've got a hell of a lot of time, I'll catch up with those thoughts in another space and another time. Right now, I'm busy trying to just get by. It's important to start as soon as possible to prepare for the long road. And you need often good advice. It's, if you're not an expert, and very few people, I think, in financial matters are, good advice is difficult to come by unless, of course, you happen to be guided in the right direction. Well, you're here chatting to us, and I would imagine that you would be more than prepared to direct people to who in the group you would consider to be the right advice giver, depending on the circumstances. So with your permission, I'd like to direct anyone listening to this that has queries and questions. It's a local group, the Robert Group, highly thought after and considered, been around forever on the North Coast, and now Devon and his colleagues are at so conveniently placed, almost at your convenience, I would imagine. Do you have a contact number?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you can get us. We're based next to the Mshlali Prep on 032-947-1132. David raised, you know, such important points there, in that, you know, people, there's no formal training for managing your personal finance. You know, I mean, I didn't have it at school. You know, if you're lucky, your parents spoke about money. Otherwise, you kind of just, it's a trial and error thing, and it can be incredibly costly. And you made the point about just starting, and that is so important. It's just, you know, saying, okay, I need to plan long term. It doesn't come naturally to us. It's, you know, I tell my little children, it's delayed gratification. You know, don't spend now so you can spend later. It's not natural for us humans to do that, but the ability to start, and as you say, to partner with someone who can be accountable and trust and guide you, is critical, because we just naturally aren't wired that way. And I mean, the financial markets are intimidating, right? Us financial types make it way too complicated. There's too many choices. There's risks. There's jargon. And, you know, you need someone to kind of unpack that and almost decode it for you and build something that's unique to you. What Dave's trying to achieve, what Naquanda's trying to achieve, is completely different. And you need a customized plan accordingly.
Indeed. In that situation, each of us has unique requirements, and what better way to unpack the mysteries that exist in the financial terms than finding someone that you can actually talk to. I can talk to Devon all day long. I'm sure you can too. Devon, thanks so much for joining us. Look forward to continuing the conversation.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for the opportunity.
You're on 88FM's Morning Show with Dave and Nogwanda. Here's Francois van Cooke. I love you all the time.